Hey guys, welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. Today, one of my favorite guests, CBS's Will Brinson, joins us to come up with one of my favorite topics of the year, fake trades. Yes, I wrote a column for ESPN breaking down some fake trades. I've come up with more. Will has come up with more. We have fake trades involving pretty much every player from the Panthers and a variety of other NFL teams. But first, I want to tell you about another podcast, which is now available twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, a podcast hosted by ESPN NFL analyst Mina. Oh, I know Mina Kimes. I forgot. Of course I know Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes is a friend of our show, a friend of mine. Of course you're listening to Mina Kimes already, but if you're not for some crazy reason, Mina Kimes is hosting The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny twice a week during the season here. She's joined on Tuesdays by another friend of ours, Dominique Foxworth. And then later in the week, she's joined by different expert guests to preview the most intriguing games. That is the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Listen wherever you are listening to this podcast. All right, now here is promised on the Bill Barnwell Show, a regular contributor, a man who has many talents, but one of which reminded me he needed to be on the show to talk about one of my favorite topics, to say the least, which is fake trades. Joining me to come up with some more fake NFL trades in advance of the November deadline is my friend, CBS's Will Brinson. Will, what's up?
Bill, what's going on, man? I got to say, I tweeted out something. I think I'm actually going to use the trade that I tweeted. Just
perfect.
Seems a waste of a tweet.
And a good trade.
And a good trade, that's right. But when you asked me if I would do a fake trade podcast, I was like, yeah. I mean, I immediately said yes. But then, of course, the realization that I'm now coming up with fake trades against the trade master is a little concerning. I mean, you do an entire mock draft. Isn't it the mock draft of trades?
Mm-hmm. That's true. It is, I believe, zero for maybe 240 in terms of successful.
Yeah, picks, but like but
fun to think about.
Well, I was going to say that like the level of difficulty of doing that, it's not even about the accuracy. It's about the level of difficulty. And that's like I always like to, I got, Ken Wisenhunt. Mm-hmm. When it almost punched me in there. I mean, he didn't really almost punch me. He gave me a dirty look in an airport after the owners' meetings one time. Me and Pete Prisco were waiting to fly out. I think it was Arizona, but we were at the airport and he's like, Kenny, Pete, what's going on?
Oh no.
He introduced me and he gave me this look. He's like, why did I know that? Why? And it was because I had my mock draft that offseason had traded Phillip Rivers to the Titans. And, and he did not like that.
Well, heaven forbid you try to get Tennessee's quarterback situation to be the best it's been in the history of the franchise since moving.
Right. Exactly. I just like the idea. It's like, it's not a, well, I wasn't trying to start rumors. It was just a thought exercise.
Yes. It's fun. Stuff is allowed to be fun. Not everyone has to be angry all the time about every single thing when it comes to football.
Have some fun, Kenny.
Just thinking about some stuff, Ken Wisenhunt, it's okay. You don't got to be mad.
That's right. I like Ken Wisenhunt. But I digress.
To be fair, I don't think he's a listener to the show. And if he is, we're going to find out very soon.
I know. It is. Yeah, if you mention, it is funny if like you mention somebody on a podcast or like a radio hit and you get, and like they're not listening at the time. Like I had a buddy who texts, he's like, why am I getting texts that you mentioned me on the local radio show? I was like, I called you a great insurance agent, Franklin, relax. Anyway.
Just trying to help Franklin out, and that's what you get, punishment.
Yeah. I won't even mention the name because I screw up sponsorships regularly, but I don't want to mess them up for your show.
That's fine. That's fine. You're not getting paid for that, Will. So you should not have to. It's like mentioning the new name of the Steelers Stadium. They're not paying me. I'm going to call it Heinz Field until someone makes me.
And you know what's funny too is about that, not to further derail or the intro to this podcast, please. But I love that I'm so offended by them taking away the name Heinz Field, just like I was offended by them taking away the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't occur to me until after, like after the fact, after I was offended and upset by it, that I'm upset for the not only a ketchup company, but also a office supply company. It's like, how dare you, Sully? It's the Staples Center, you know. It's like named
it's
after.
It's always been the Staples Center to me.
But isn't it odd that right? Of course. But isn't it odd that it's like you can't call it the crypto.com arena, but if you the Staples Center, you know, as long as it's the Staples Center, like I'm fine as long as it's named after an office supply situation.
Yes. If it was the Office Depot Center, not willing to accept it. I love the Staples Center because it reminds me of one of my favorite tweets of all time, which is Jessica Spatana traveling with Charlotte Wilder and Charlotte pointing towards a Staples and saying, oh, is that the Staples Center? And Jess saying, no, that's just a big Staples.
That's pretty good.
Which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that checks out too in terms of all due respect to Charlotte and Charlotte pointed at the Staples, right?
Yes. Charlotte was the one who misidentified a particularly big office supply store as the arena where the Lakers and Clippers and Kings play or have played.
I say this lovingly, but so Charlotte was the Rube in this case.
another very smart guest who I will exactly. I will not sully her name, but yes,
do you only have Rubes on here? What's going on?
We will find out. We will find out depending on how good these trades are. I have faith in you, but maybe the public will disagree. I will say when I did my fake trades column for ESPN this fall, I got almost universally negative feedback. So we will see how this group goes. But we have 10 trades, I believe. We have a few at the very least. I came up with 5. I think you have 5 as well. I think there's a lot that could happen this deadline. I think there's certainly more openness to trades than there have been in years past. And I think, frankly, there's more to gain. There's such a weird season. There are so many teams right around 500 that I think a team that does choose to kind of tank or does choose to sell off could have lots of possible options to trade to. So I think there's a lot to get to. I'm going to let you go first. Whether you want to do the trade you put on Twitter to start there or a different trade, yeah. Please, Will, the floor is yours.
I think we fire up with the original fake trade. I mean, you obviously had an entire column, but the one that
you came up with,
that yeah, the one that I came up podcast. With, was a yeah, right, that sparked the podcast was a three-way trade. So I know, right? Three-way. People got mad at this too. They're like, that's not a realistic trade. Oh. Yes, I don't actually expect a three-way all running back trade to go down. And then someone was like, who's getting the draft picks? I was like, oh,
God, you can probably figure that out.
Please, people. Yeah, it's the Panthers get the draft picks. So in this instance, we're going to do a three-way running back trade in which the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams of F them picks fame.
Sure.
Get Christian McCaffrey.
Hmm.
The all-pro off-injured superstar running back for the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
And Carolina gets the Broncos are going to be involved in this as well.
Yep.
They get Cam Akers, who we have been told by Sean McVay is wants to play somewhere else, and they're looking at another option for him. They're trying to trade him basically. And the Carolina Panthers, who are in full-blown tank mode, or should be in full-blown tank mode, are getting Melvin Gordon, who just got was stealing carries from Javonte Williams and then got benched for Latavius Murray.
Very confusing scenario for what happened there in Denver.
I'm blocked by Melvin Gordon on Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point. Am I blocked by Melvin Gordon on Twitter?
He searches his name regularly, and I think I must.
He does.
Now, but what's odd, Bill, is I've played Madden with Melvin Gordon in person at the Super Bowl, and yet I'm blocked by him on Twitter. But, you know, whatever. Like, he wouldn't know me from Adam. But
oh, sure.
All right, I should mention the Panthers also get a 2023 second round pick from the Rams and a 2023 fourth round pick from the Broncos, which feels perhaps steep, but I didn't want to be yelled at by Panthers fans. They're like, you can't just the Rams finish. Yeah, you know, Rams go to the playoffs. That 2023 second round pick, and maybe a little shy of what they would want for Christian McCaffrey. So I gave them a little bit more. I'm curious what you think. We talked about this too. The conversation for Christian McCaffrey. Now, is that we're not bashing insiders here, but nope. We're going to do it in fair fashion, because both CBS Sports' Jonathan Jones and ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, mm-hmm. former colleague of mine too, mm-hmm. Both great people,
yeah, sure.
Both great information, both reporting the Panthers would like a first round pick for Christian McCaffrey. You and I believe that is a bit pie in the sky.
Well, there's a big difference between what the Panthers are asking for and what they would like and what would be a good deal.
Sure.
And
I have an old UConn in the driveway here. That I'd like to get $30,000 for. Probably not going to happen.
Right. Exactly. And I think that is the difference here. I think when we say the Panthers are not getting a first round, I'd be shocked if they got a first round pick for Christian McCaffrey. It's not disputing that the reporting that is coming out there is accurate, because I believe that it is, but I think they might be willing to accept something less
or a first round
pick, or they would absolutely take more. I always wonder, like I'll take $30,000 for that UConn or more.
Brinson, like, sources say Brinson is looking to get $30,000 for his UConn, $30,000 or more. It's like, yeah, I mean, anyway, sorry.
Yes, absolutely. And again, maybe somebody will sit down with their owner, and they'll just say, listen, we got to get something. And Christian McCaffrey is a game changer. And to be fair, we know about his injury history. He has not been used all that great for a chunk of this season. And yet, dude is still producing. He is still racking up yards in these games where the Panthers have very little going on offense, where they're a mess. Christian McCaffrey at this point has 670 yards from scrimmage in six games. So he is still the best part of that Carolina offense. The problem is not really about 2022, because Christian McCaffrey is owed basically the minimum. They reduced his salary to try to restructure in advance of hopefully trading for Deshaun Watson, which obviously did not happen. Next year, though, I think his compensation is $13 million. He has like $12.75 as a base, and then he has $250,000, I think, as a workout bonus. And if you've seen Christian McCaffrey, you know he's not missing workouts. He's going to take advantage of that workout bonus. So that is the tough part for me when it comes to trading significant draft capital for Christian McCaffrey. And I think a 2 and a 4 would be pretty significant draft capital. Even a 2 is pretty meaningful for a running back where we do know his injury history. He's been productive this year. He's a special player when he's on the field, but would you pay him $13 million next year? I think that's the tough part, because if you are willing to, then hey, great. You can get this deal done and you can justify having him on your roster for multiple seasons. But if you're not willing to pay him that much, you're either asking him to take a pay cut as part of this deal, which maybe he'll do, maybe he won't, or you're going to have to cut him after this season, which means you're paying a 2 for a rental running back. And because you cut him, you're not getting a compensatory pick back if he signs somewhere else in free agency. So it's a really narrow window to make this work. And I think for what we said about the Panthers wanting a first round pick or more, like, I think there is a price tag where David Tepper is just going to say, no, it's too embarrassing to dump Christian McCaffrey for a fourth round pick, even if we're going to cut him at the end of the season anyway. So I don't know what that middle ground is, but I think the compensation you have out there is probably right in terms of being able to justify the Rams having it make sense for them and the Panthers getting enough that it's worth going out of their way to do this deal.
Yeah, and the other thing to factor in here too is that, and I agree with you, like, I mean, David Tepper, you think he, I mean, he's not very good at it so far, but he sure doesn't like being embarrassed as a professional football owner.
No.
Now, has his entire tenure with the Panthers been embarrassing? Maybe. But it, I think, too, Christian McCaffrey is by a wide margin the most popular player, yes, on the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
And I know that shouldn't necessarily factor in if you are being a good football businessman,
but I
do think, I mean, you know, like, Christian McCaffrey sells jerseys.
Yep.
He's, I mean, without McCaffrey, what is this offense? Like, I mean, Sam Darnold's coming back from IR and probably starting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like Sam Darnold and Chuba Hubbard and DJ Moore, which is not exactly Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
True.
or the, you know, I mean, so, I mean, the Panthers, I think that will factor in a little bit in terms of not being willing to take nothing back. Mm-hmm. The one team that, you know, is you could justify maybe using a first round pick for Christian McCaffrey would be the Buffalo Bills, in only because it would be stunning if that pick was earlier than like 28th or 29th. Mm-hmm. However, if you look at the Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott era, they have invested in the running back position several times. Devin mm-hmm. Singletary, Zach Moss, yep. James Cook. Mm-hmm. And none of those guys were drafted in the first round because they understand, they are not idiots. They understand the valuation of running backs. They want to get somebody in the second or third round. They've seen the recent trend of being able to acquire guys in that range who turn out to be possibly franchise, you know, or franchise backs, but like you don't pay a first round draft price for a running back. And so mm-hmm. I don't think that they'd be willing to do that, particularly with McCaffrey's mileage, you know, the contract situation you described. So to me, the second round pick from the Rams, mm-hmm. who, by the way, could really use
yes.
dynamic pass catching running back to mitigate and alleviate the pressure that Matthew Stafford is currently under from opposing pass rushes.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that is the thing, is that they need something to supplement that offense, and they're getting nothing at running back right now. I mean, I pitched a Sony Michel trade to them in my first column, just thinking, you know, get a guy who you trust between the tackles, who's going to push the pile. Like, no, he's not going to be Todd Gurley in his prime. He's not going to be Christian McCaffrey, but at least you can trust him as a early down running back. Like, they need something there, and then probably something at receiver, which I still think is going to be Odell Beckham. But at the end of the day, who knows? Like stranger things have happened. I mean, there's a few teams you could see here. The Rams make sense. The Bills make sense. The Niners make sense. Honestly, the Chiefs make sense. Although I tried to put that one together and couldn't make it work. Actually, I have another Chiefs offer for you, Will. And Ooh. You mentioned DJ Moore. Let me do that one here. This is another three-way trade. We're starting off with, we're making it completely
Your trades are just better than mine, by the way. I want to get that out there.
Yes, that is not accurate. We will
I'm see like, I'm like trading like a guy for a pick, and you're like, you traded, like, I think one of yours had, like, you traded the Chiefs mascot to somebody.
You know what? He's been riding off the Mahomes hype train too long. You can get another mascot in there. He'll be just fine with Patrick Mahomes.
He the Chiefs mascot and the Colts mascot are my favorite mascots in football, because no one is better at slamming their head into the field goal, the padded field goal, yes. The padded goalpost portion when a missed field goal occurs, and it gets me every time. Though. Like, every time I see that little, I don't even know what is the Chiefs mascot. Okay, kangaroo. Wolf combo, kind of.
The Colts also miss a lot of field goals, so that's yeah. plenty of opportunities for that mascot to
that horse thing. Hammering his head into the goal, like, it gets me every time. Like he's just bashing his head into the goalpost.
You find something that works, you stick with it, I think. Absolutely. is what mascots do. Here is my three-way trade. I think this makes everyone happy. You tell me what you think. So basically, this is two trades. We can do it as a three-way trade. Might be easier to do it as two separate trades. So first off, the Packers get Marquez Valdes-Scantling from the Chiefs, who give up a fourth-round pick who get a fourth-round pick back from the Packers. And I think this makes sense for the Packers because they need help at receiver. They need someone who can take the top off the defense. They need somebody who can scare teams away from loading up the box against their rushing attack. And they need someone right now. Like, I always thought they'd be a good fit for Odell Beckham because they could kind of just, you know, meander through the regular season. And then if you get Odell Beckham back in time for the postseason, that's great. But they need help right now. They're two games back from the Vikings. Two and a half, right, with the tiebreaker. And MVS knows the offense, man. Like, if you trade for him on Thursday, he could start for you on Sunday. He has his weaknesses. We know he's not a superstar. But he is a guy who would be a starter for that offense. And I think that would be a logical fit for the Packers. Now, the Packers could also get a trade for the other guy involved with this deal, but they have not seemed desperate to make a significant move in terms of giving up a first round pick for a receiver. But could the Kansas City Chiefs do that? And that is why I think they can afford to trade Marquez Valdes-Scantling, because they package their fourth round pick they just got from the Packers in the MVS deal, and their first round pick in 2023, send that to the Panthers for DJ Moore. Now, in part, this is because I have lots of DJ Moore in fantasy football, and he is dying on the vine with the various quarterbacks the Panthers have. But I think this makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs for a couple of reasons. Number one, DJ Moore is still young. He's 25 years old. He is going to be in his prime for several years. He can be the focal point of that offense, not only now, but also once Travis Kelce moves on, which could be a year or two from now, even though it looks like he's not aging whatsoever. And what makes this more appealing to a Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes and his massive salary at quarterback is that DJ Moore's deal, which was just signed in March, is already way below the market. He makes $1 million this year in base salary. Next couple of years, it's 19.965 and 15.85. That's 20, 35, 36, about $37 million over the next 3 years. So a little under $13 million per year, which is great. The Panthers have already paid his signing bonus. That's not part of the deal for the Chiefs. I mean, you know, when you have a market where Tyreek Hill is getting twice that much to play wide receiver, Tyreek Hill is a better player than DJ Moore, but I think DJ Moore is still pretty good, and that's a pretty reasonable price for a number one receiver where you don't even have to think about renegotiating this contract until 2024. I think that would be an easy victory for the Chiefs and get them a number one, a true number one receiver to me, and lock that in for the next few years.
While also booing or lifting up our best ball teams from the depths of
that is another podcast for another day. But yes, that would be nice as well.
No, I mean, I think, and look, DJ Moore would probably love this because, you know, I mean, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and PJ Walker, probably lovely people, or actually definitely lovely people. The Panthers offensive situation is abysmal at best. And so I think DJ Moore moving to that spot in Kansas City would be quite happy with it. The other thing too, back in, I think it was 2020, you know, when mid heavy pandemic, right? Me and Adam Azer did these on Sunday afternoons, we would do these like live watches of whatever game was on CBS, and our CBS corporate overlords would pay some former NFL player to come join us on the stream. And we had Jordy Nelson one time, and Jordy Nelson broke down in great detail that Aaron Rodgers, like the reason that they don't, you know, the reason that Aaron Rodgers likes to have receivers who have experience on the, like he likes to have guys who have experience on the Packers roster, because when, you know, he does that little patented, it's not actually patented, but he does his little, he goes through his reads, right? And then when he doesn't see anything, he has that little roll, like the little like turn, and he rolls out to his right.
Yep.
I mean, everybody knows what it looks like. Well, when he does that, as Jordy Nelson explained, he expects his receivers to then operate with a sort of freelance secondary route / read, where they know when he starts to roll, he expects them to change whatever route they're doing and to work their way into the open field, so that way he can deliver the ball. In other words, it's basically like a secondary route.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously lots of, you know, you want to be on the same page, but it takes time working with Rodgers to get there. Mm-hmm. And for the Packers to find a fix, you're right. If they need somebody who knows the offense, I don't understand why they didn't give MVS the contract the Chiefs gave him, but more. Like, it's basically a 1-year, $9 million deal. I mean, it was framed as a 3-year, $30 million deal, and people lost their minds. It's a 1-year, $9 million contract, and they can be done with it after one season.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That makes sense to me. If you're the Panthers, do you take a 1 and a 4 for DJ Moore, or is that not enough?
Oh, yeah. I think if the Panthers, any first round picks the Panthers can get, they would take in a heartbeat.
Interesting. Okay, so we're on board with that one. Give me your next trade.
My next trade was, let's see. Oh, I know. You know, while we're stripping down the Panthers, let's just keep stripping down the Panthers. Wow. Let's take this old busted UConn and strip it down for parts. See what we can get for it. Brian Burns.
Yep.
The Baltimore Ravens trade for Brian Burns.
Ooh, okay.
The Panthers get in return a conditional first round pick.
Oh.
Now, because it's a fake trades podcast, I can implement whatever fake conditions I want, Bill.
Of course you can.
I believe he is in the final year of his contract, right?
He has, I think, one more year to go. I think
he's he has his fifth year option coming up next year.
Option coming up, yes.
Yeah, well, that's even better.
There we go.
So, you know what? Maybe I was thinking you're right. He does have his fifth year option. So they could, he is 24 years old, Bill.
He's a baby and yeah. He's really good.
He's really good. And the Panthers have made it, I mean, I feel like they've made it fairly clear that they are not, they should have paid him this offseason. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, the price is only going to go up, put it that way.
Why do teams do that? It drives me nuts. It's like, just get the guy under contract while you can. At the right. Price, that's not insane. Right. Burns is going to command a massive contract mm-hmm. at his age, with his production, with his upside. Former first round pick. Todd France is his agent. Todd France, also the agent for Dak Prescott. So mm-hmm. you know, he's been down this road before where the team didn't want to pay him. My condition was going to be that the Ravens sign him to a contract, but we'll just say it's a first round pick. If the Ravens make the playoffs, a second round pick. And we'll just say it's a first round pick, you know, toss the condition out the window. I think Burns is worth a first round pick. If I were the Ravens, he might be worth more than one first round pick. Mm-hmm. Did I underprice that?
That's a good question. That might be a or more situation for me. I think I would say I'd want a little more than a first round pick if I were the Panthers. But again, it depends on what their leverage is. You know, if they don't think they want to pay him what he's going to get on the open market, then you're probably taking a one. Like, you know, if you're seriously committed to paying him, then you're probably asking for a one in the three or one in the conditional two, maybe. But I do think that Brian Burns is a top 10 pass rusher in this league. And I mean, look what Khalil Mack cost. Khalil Mack cost two first round picks. And I don't think Brian Burns is quite on Khalil Mack's level, but he's younger. He doesn't have the injury history that Khalil Mack had when that trade happened. And I think there's a lot of reasons to think he's going to be a superstar over the next four or five seasons. So for the Ravens,
you're guaranteed 2.5 years of having the player, provided you use the franchise tag in 2024.
Yep, and that is not out of the realm of possibility. The only thing I would say for the Ravens, though, is they might need their franchise tag for somebody else in that roster.
Ooh, good. But they would need it in 2023 for that dynamic quarterback of theirs.
They might need it twice. They might need it twice.
That's a good point.
Huh. So I don't know. I mean, the Ravens definitely have a need. And I mean, getting a superstar player in his prime is something they would do. So I don't think you can rule it out by any means. But to me, I think I'd want a little more if I were the Panthers. But then again, like I said, it depends on what they think about his future with the team.
One in a three that becomes a two if the Ravens make the playoffs?
Yeah, I would go with that. I'd say one in a three, I think, would be fair. We'll see. Panthers fans will yell at us if we're underpricing Brian Burns, but I think he's a legitimate superstar. And I think, you know, the thing is, he's so young. Like, Moore is young too, but Burns is even younger. And if you're the Panthers, like, even if you are thinking you're not going to be good for two more years, like, he's going to be good. He'll be 27. He'll be in his prime still. So I would just sign him, but there's a lot of players where I think, why don't they just sign him? And that doesn't always happen. So I think your instincts there are probably informed, to say the least.
All right. I like it. What's your next one?
My next one, much less exciting. No first round picks involved. All my other ones are lower level deals. That was the big one, the DJ Moore deal for me. I will go with a player who, speaking of best ball teams, has been collecting zeros on the bottom of rosters for the past few weeks. A man who has fallen out of favor was a healthy scratch on Monday Night Football. And that is Broncos tight end Albert Ogwebunam, who looked like he was going to be an impact player. And the Broncos do not see as an impact player. They're playing four tight ends over him right now. So I think he moves on. I think I looked at teams who might need a tight end, and I came to the New York Giants, who are off to a hot start. I don't know if you heard about the Giants. They are 5-1 somehow.
I thought they already won the Super Bowl.
They have already won next year's Super Bowl already. They've won two.
Congratulations, Brian Daboll.
Yes. Ogwebunam is not going to cost much. I have it as a 2024 sixth round pick. But Brian Daboll, we know, gets the most out of the offensive pieces he has, and they don't have a lot on offense. Daniel Bellinger has been their primary tight end. Ricky Seals-Jones was cut before the season. The wide receiver room is pretty iffy. David Sills getting a bunch of snaps.
That's, James that's, is a regular. Bill, that's pretty iffy.
I'm trying to be kind. There's major questions about whether they have the playmakers on offense they need. So I don't think Aguay Bunum's going to go over there and suddenly be a superstar. But I think if you can get him for 20 snaps a game as a upside tight end for a sixth round pick in 2024, I think it makes sense. And for the Broncos, who aren't playing this guy, who don't seem to believe in him, who need draft capital after the Russell Wilson trade, I think that it's smart to go out and get a pick for a guy who's not going to be used on your roster. So I try to find a player for player fit. I always prefer those trades. Didn't really see a good fit here in terms of player for player, but I think Aguay Bunum for a six makes sense to me.
I like it. I'm also impressed that you didn't do what I would have done, which is call him Albert O three times.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, you're a professional.
Okay. No, but like I probably pronounced it wrong anyway. Like I have my beliefs.
Who's gonna know to call you out on it? Unless Albert O listens to the podcast.
Maybe he does. I'm not gonna rule it out. He's a smart man, a man of taste and talent.
Refined audio palette.
Yeah, he's listening on very fancy earbuds, I am sure. But I think I want to see him play. You know, I think he did not get a fair shake in Denver, given the circumstances, barely got any playing time after the first couple of weeks. And I don't know, if I were you, I'd want to get a Denver right now if I could. So I think it could be a positive move for all parties involved.
No, I like it. And again, like you point out with the Giants, and my next trade is going to have some of the Giants trading somebody away. But I mean, they're 5-1. Granted, all six of their games have been one score games. And sure, as we like to talk about frequently, Bill, those are oftentimes maybe less predictive of what the real outcome should be. But, you know, they are a well-coached team. Daniel Jones is starting to look like he might be the guy.
I'm not ready to go with you on that one yet, my friend.
I was really just trolling Giants fans.
But he's better.
He might not be the guy, but he's better. They're playing their way out of of drafting a quarterback regardless. Yes. He needs weapons. I mean, it's like Darius Slayton ain't going to cut it. And, you know, Wandale Robinson hasn't been able to get healthy. They obviously like him. Kenny Galladay is probably the currently like worst contract in
professional football.
Can't think of a worse one.
No, that's the worst one, I think.
Yeah. And Kadarius Toney is a product of the previous regime and clearly not somebody who is necessarily beloved by the current regime. So I like the move.
Is that the guy you have?
It is the guy that I had. Yeah, I was going to segue, but you did it first.
What's the deal?
I sent him to the Packers.
Okay, I like that.
Now, I noted that your MVS deal is better.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, I had the Giants getting a 2023 third-round pick.
I like that. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, Toney, a former first-round pick of the legendary Dave Gettleman.
Sure.
Now, with all the typing and the whatnot. They got the last laugh there.
Do you think this was a computer guy selection?
No, I think this was a quintessential Dave Gettleman. I got sniped by the Eagles for Devontae Smith. I don't know what to do. Yes. Hello. Ryan Pace? Oh, yeah. Yes, I will take another first round pick and to trade down for the first time in the history of my drafting. I think he had like, what, probably 10 drafts that he ran between the Panthers and the Giants?
I think so, yeah.
And the only time he ever moved around in the first round was his final draft when he got sniped by the Eagles. The Bears wanted to come up and get Justin Fields. He took the extra first round pick, and then he just drafted the next wide receiver on his board.
Yeah. I will say that was the best move Dave Gettleman made on the first round.
Right, but I mean, like, it's an accidental genius move.
Oh, sure, but sometimes accidental genius is better than knowing dumb person.
That is. I mean, look, it was his best move.
Yes, that is the thing. I mean, I think at this point that's a sunk cost, right? Like, Kadarius Toney is on the roster. He clearly has upside. He has been brilliant when healthy. but he hasn't been healthy. And when he has been healthy, haven't really seen these regimes believe in him all that much. So I think we know the upside is there, and I think the price tag is reasonable, but do you think the Packers can get the most out of Kadarius Toney?
I'm not sure about that. And I don't know. Do you know offhand? I know it, but do you know offhand what Kadarius Toney's rap name is?
I do not. Sorry.
Young Joka.
Oh, nice.
Y-U-N-G. I only know that Mike Glennon told me that he's actually like a pretty, he said he's a pretty good rapper and a good dude.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to get the, if I'm thinking what person in the NFL would I go to for rap reviews?
Mike Glennon, obviously.
Mike Glennon is the first one I would think of. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, totally. At any rate, like I also was going to have the Packers get the rights to his any future music videos that are released by Young Joka.
That's so fair.
So that's,
if the Packers are going to start a culture department and start putting out videos, better Kadarius Toney than Aaron Rodgers. I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, what?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. But don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What goes better with beer cheese than rap music?
You know? That's like, true. I mean, you know, I think there's upside there when it comes to Toney. And I think that the Packers certainly could use someone with his athleticism. And again, I think it would be you'd have to kind of work your way into the offense with him. I think it'd have to be like sort of a gadget thing to start the tenure there. But I mean, they need to get something to improve that offense. They need
you could use him in screens. Jet sweeps,
and they love screens. They throw screens more than anybody else in football.
There you go. Exactly. That's what my thinking was, Bill.
Very wise.
I definitely did not know that they threw the most screens in football, but
they throw a lot. You know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was the number one, but yes, I mean it does make like the idea of pairing him with like an Alan Lazard type, or you got Christian Watson who's developing. These guys could get a little bit deeper. I'm not saying Toney can't get deep, but he's you watch him play. It's not hard to figure out why, why the Giants liked him, why people liked him coming out of Florida. Like, you get him the ball in short yardage space, and he is so twitchy. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers wants to simplify the offense. What's more simple than screens and jet sweeps?
Yeah, get the ball out and let him deal with it. And that's a totally reasonable addition. So yeah, I think that makes total sense to me. My next deal is a very unexciting three-way trade. You talked about like receivers and running backs. These are a bunch of dudes who these teams don't want, but who I think could each benefit from a change of scenery. A three-way trade where the Browns get Michael Brockers from the Lions get Jonathan Abram from the Raiders, and the Raiders get Joe Haig from the Browns. Three super exciting players. Everyone has posters of Michael Brockers and Joe Haig on their wall, but each of these teams have needs. The Browns need help stopping the run. They have been a disaster against the run. Their defensive tackles aren't very good. They just need to get bigger, frankly, on the interior. And Brockers not playing much for the Lions, but still I think a useful interior defender. Abram about to be a free agent. The Raiders declined his fifth year option. He was drafted by the prior regime, so you know that they don't really want him very much. I think he could be a useful box safety. I think they need to sort of do a better job of coaching him, frankly. I think he wasn't coached very well before this new regime got there. But the Lions need help in the secondary pretty much everywhere. They are a disaster in the secondary right now. And then the Raiders could use help at offensive tackle. I mean, they have had injuries everywhere on their line. Haig, who's not playing for the Browns, he's really been a healthy scratcher most of this year. Really a luxury given how many teams need offensive line help. But Haig is a veteran player. He's played guard. He's played tackle. I think he'd probably play guard for the Raiders, actually, but maybe he could play tackle in a cinch if he needs to. But there's just, they need offensive linemen. So I think this is a three-way trade where it's not going to excite anybody. Probably Lions have to pick up some money, I believe, because Brockers, I think, makes more than Abram and Haig. But I do think that a three-way trade that could make sense for all parties involved.
I like the, I always love when teams have to, pick up money, because it's like the, like it's immediately reported, you know, when Robbie Anderson gets traded, it's like, the Cardinals are picking up his full salary. It's like, okay, the Panthers are getting like nothing coming back.
Yes.
Like if the Cardinals are, they did get nothing in return.
Yes.
I like that though. I think the one of the ones, I was going to ask you, I have Abrams in an incomplete trade. I wanted to figure a way to package Abrams and Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, I mean, I think Abram and Farrell makes sense.
I couldn't figure out who would take both.
That's the thing. That's the tough part. Like, I could see one going out, but like, that's like just dumping all this. That's like a yard sale. Like, it's just dumping all the stuff you don't want into a bucket and saying, "Hey, take this bucket." Like, maybe someone.
It's like, I see, you really hate these players. You, not only did you not pick up their fifth year options, but you're trying to trade both of them.
Yes. That's the part that I think is tough for me. Like, I think it just feels too much like a poo poo platter kind of situation.
Right. You sort of feel like the, poo poo platters sort of get a bad rap.
That's fair.
Poo poo platters are kind of great.
I immediately regretted it when I said it. I think.
No. I mean, it is the perfect phrase. It is like a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Sure.
I think that, that was my fifth trade, but I was like trying to find a possible landing spot for both guys. So that way the Raiders could get some kind of, because clearly they're not bringing those guys back. I mean,
right.
Whether it was Mayock, whether it was Gruden, and I lean towards that it was Gruden making the ultimate calls, especially, with Farrell up top when you could have had, Devin White or Josh Allen.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think that getting anything in return for those two guys would be a big, big bonus for the Raiders, because we don't know how this team is going to end up. Like, it's hard to say how their season's going to end up going. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably a better team than they've shown. But if you're, if you're that new regime in Las Vegas and you are trying to completely change over, and we as we understand it, I mean, like, by they don't like the players that were left there. Mm-hmm. And by moving those players, even if you're losing football games, you get to signal to your minivan driving French fry loving owner, haircut masterpiece owner, that you hey, look, it's not our fault, Mark. It's Mr. Gruden's fault.
It's Gruden's fault.
I love you. I know you love John and Mike, but look at this poo-poo platter they left us.
You would never get this at PF Chang's.
Yeah, exactly. Would you order this at PF Chang's, Mark?
This is no lettuce wrap. Come on. No, I mean, it makes sense. I think finding the team that would take it is tough, because both those guys are free agents after the season. So, like, are you going to give up anything more than a 6 just to get two guys who have not been very good?
Right. Like, I mean, maybe a 4 if you think both guys can be impact, like, can make any kind of, because you're getting two guys, right?
You're getting two guys, but then you're also going to have to re-sign them at the end of the year. Right. So it's tough. I think there's a way to make it work. But
and
I think
compensatory wise, you are probably getting at most a 6 for those two guys.
I mean, again, like, are those guys going to have great markets? I think that's the tough part. Like, it just, there's a universe in which it could make sense, and then you get something more out of it. But it's just tough. I think it's just those guys are. You might have to sell them to different teams just because no one's going to want to take on both those players and have them be free agents. I don't know. It's a fascinating thought experiment, though. I do think the Ravens make sense, because they have taken shots on players before when they bought low and had them turn into something more, and they could use help in both those positions at the moment, frankly. So
that was actually who I was targeting. And I was like, I mean, it's like, are those guys really going to like change this. Hey, let's be more like the Raiders defense.
That's fair.
You know,
that's
like fair. So that is my, I somehow snuck one of my trades and I actually packaged it. It was sort of more of a parasite, like a remora. Do you know what a remora is?
I don't.
It's a fish that latches onto the underbelly of bigger fish, and like specifically sharks. And they just, or maybe they don't latch, but they're like they swim right underneath them. And like all the, like the stuff that sharks don't, the shark doesn't eat, like the leftovers, like the remora is like scooping them up. So that's what I did. I remora'd your Abram trade with my incomplete.
That's so, there's so many NFL metaphors for this and I feel like they're all inappropriate, but I so many things are coming to mind. So do we want to count that as one of your trades?
Yes.
Okay. So then I'll give you another one here. As we finish up here, I will give you a Rams trade, not a very exciting Rams trade, but I think a logical one. I have the Rams getting Jerry Hughes from the Texans, where Jerry Hughes, of course, longtime Bills defensive end, has been decent for Houston this year, but Texans are not going anywhere. They don't need a veteran edge rusher, not a huge salary on Jerry Hughes. And in return, the Texans, who just shed Jack Easterby from their organization, which is exciting news for them, they get a 2023 sixth round pick and guy who starred in the preseason, wide receiver Lance McCutcheon, where the Texans could use weapons, use playmakers for Davis Mills. Of course, they are without John Mechie, who's out for the year as he battles leukemia. Hope John Mechie's doing well. Nico Collins has not been all that great this year. Brandon Cooks, of course, very good. But I think taking a flyer on a guy who looked impressive in the preseason makes sense to me for a guy like Hughes, where you're probably not getting too much more. Like maybe you get a 5 instead of a 6, but why not take a shot on a guy who looked promising and see if he's going to be a valuable part of your offense for years to come? He's cheap, he's young, and they could use the help at receiver. So I think that trade makes sense for both sides for me.
Yeah. So I went down a Jack Easterby rabbit hole. That sort of fell. It's not getting enough attention, by the way, the Jack Easterby got fired.
It does seem strange.
And I also noticed that he tweeted on October 17th, "My family and I are thankful for our time in Houston. We appreciate the opportunities the McNair family has provided us and wish the organization well moving forward." And has since retweeted like 12 things, therefore pushing down the admission that the non-admission that he was fired from the Texans off of his feed.
Just a great time to do some retweets.
Yeah, just doing some retweeting. Just gonna retweet some stuff. You know, like I'm just gonna retweet some Tony Dungy stuff. Just gonna retweet Buzz Williams. The my favorite thing about the Jack Easterby stuff is how Mike Florio's I don't want to say it's an obsession, but like Florio latched onto this like the resume thing. Mm-hmm. And would not let it go. And I don't blame him. I mean, like, Easterby is like, it's like Jack Easterby helped guide the Jaguars to the 2017, like AFC championship game. It's like, you were like a quarter. I can't remember what it was. There's some like instance where he was like mentioned in his, you know, in his resume. It's like describing like, or his bio describes it as like his impact, his major impact on particular teams. Then you go and look and he was like a assistant video, you know, like assistant, like video production or like, you know, whatever it is. Like he was not like running personnel and he kept his job in Houston by allegedly or reportedly like engaging in frequent prayer with the current owner, Cal McNair, who also acquired his position through a incredible series of smart work maneuvers, like being born.
Being born and not dying were the two keys.
He was born and did not die, and that's
inheriting the team. I will say there is a very mean comment, pretty mean comment that I'm going to read below Jack Easterby's tweet, and I will move on from it at that point. Also, Robin S. on Twitter said to Jack Easterby after his post that you mentioned, "I am thankful that your time in Houston is over. Maybe you should apply in Indy, Jacksonville, or Nashville next," which is not nice.
Oh my God, these comments are unbelievable.
And we deal with commenters all day who are mean.
It's like, I didn't realize there were so many memes and GIFs with swear words in them.
Yeah, it really is something. Can we get your last trade, Will?
So I guess that do the Dolphins want to trade Mike Gesicki?
I don't. According to our Jeremy Fowler, they do, and I trust Jeremy's reporting. I think they would like to, given that he's making more than $10 million and not, you know, a focal point of their offense. But I think the tough part is someone really going to absorb, what, $7 million or so of his deal for a guy who is basically a wide receiver? I don't know. I mean, I think there's – I think it would make sense for the Dolphins, but I don't know who it makes sense for elsewhere. So I'm intrigued to see who you have Mike Gesicki going to in a possible deal.
Well, if you're going to pay one tight end $10 million, why not pay two tight ends $10 million? I'm going to the Cowboys. I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have the salary cap room.
They'll make it work.
I don't know if they. I had him giving back. Let's say a 2023 fourth round pick.
Okay.
Because I think if you're the Dolphins, you would. If you're not going to re-sign Mike Gesicki, and I mean, I would think too with Miami. I mean, you know, it's. I mean, I think it's fair to say that. You know, I mean. Essentially, you know, the way that they are operating is should be we should approach how they want their certain personnel decisions. Like, what would Kyle Shanahan do? Right. Mm-hmm. And I would think, you know, it's pretty obvious that Kyle Shanahan, you know, likes blocking tight ends. Like, George Kittle is clearly like the best blocking tight end in football now with Rob Gronkowski out, but you know, that's not Mike, that's not Mike Gesicki, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that if you're the Dolphins, maybe that's what you're looking for. And as such, you know, you're willing to deal him knowing that you are not going to, you know, at best, you're going to get a fourth round pick in return in the open market, more likely a fifth round pick compensatory, depending on what he would sign for. So I think that they would take a fourth round pick pretty quickly from the Cowboys for him.
Yeah. And you know, for the Cowboys, they have actually enough cap space to do this. They have about $10 million in space. Gesicki would be, a little over $7 million prorated over the rest of the season. So you could make it work financially. And, I mean, Dalton Schultz is not healthy. He got hurt. He right. came back. He got hurt again. I mean, I think there's legit concerns that he's going to be their guy going forward. And he, of course, is a free agent after this season as well. So he might not be in the Cowboys' future plans. So they would be able to get him because he, at this point, he signed the franchise tender. Like, you can't have two franchise players.
Oh.
But once you sign the tender, then I think you become you're just on a one-year contract.
Yeah.
So I think it would be fine.
You can't franchise tag two players, but yeah, that is a situation that we have never seen unfold.
I know when Tennessee had Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry coming up, it was like, well, what can they do? But they didn't have to deal with this. They signed both of them.
Can you franchise tag somebody and then transition tag a different player? I think you can.
I believe you can, but I'd have to double check. I think once Schultz is signed and Gesicki, they've both been signed to 1 year deals. I think at that point it's fine. So,
right. And at that point, they are simply players on 1 year contracts.
Yes.
Who you can't negotiate with.
Yes, Ken Wisenhunt will tell us otherwise if we are incorrect after the show.
Of course. Now, the other thing you could do, too, is, you can't offer him a contract during the season. But at the end of the season, you say, hey, here's the deal we're offering to both of you.
Yeah.
We're only offering it to one of you. Whoever accepts it first gets
first person to say yes. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. See, that's really the only reason I did the trade.
That's a good one, though. I like that one a lot. Man, and I think it makes sense. You know, Michael Gallup's still not 100%. They've used a lot of Noah Brown this year, frankly. Jalen Tolbert, who another best ball guy who has disappeared off the face of the earth, doesn't appear to be ready. So, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl with this defense.
You have to get some help for Dak. Like, it's very clear that CeeDee Lamb would be, you know, when Dak's coming back this week, CeeDee Lamb is going to be just functionally more dynamic and explosive when teams, because you know, before Gallup came, and I like Michael Gallup, he's not at the same level as Amari Cooper, which by the way, they kind of botched that whole thing. Sure. Like we saw situations where you know, you can just like basically not bracket, but like basically just kind of double team ish CD Lamb and force the Cowboys to run their offense through everyone else. And it just doesn't look as good. And, you know, they didn't win these last few games with Cooper Rush by virtue of their offense. It was, you know, it was not making mistakes with the offense and then the defense winning the games.
Right. And I think taking advantage of both those things. I mean, Micah Parsons is still cheap. Trevon Diggs is still cheap. Like, you can afford this expensive one-year tight end to go with your other expensive one-year tight end, and then you figure out the future after this year. So to me, I think the four is a very reasonable price tag for a guy who can be a, you know, when healthy, I think a difference maker. He's really, like I said, more of a big slot than he is a tight end, but you can play him and Schultz at the same time because of that. And I think that they could make the most out of that in the months to come. So I'm all for that move. My last one was tough. I wanted to get someone off the Bears because the Bears are basically tanking. We know the Panthers are tanking as well, but the Bears are another team expecting to make moves. In my column on ESPN, I had Robert Quinn leaving the Bears. This time I went with Roquan Smith, where Roquan Smith is a great player. He's in the prime of his career, but they are not close to getting a contract done. The Bears have not signed Roquan Smith. He requested a trade back in August, and it looks like he's going to leave in free agency. So to me, I thought, why not get a good pick for him now, even if he doesn't play the rest of the year with this team? And I think there's a way you can make it work. So I had Roquan Smith in a fifth round pick going to the Patriots for Kendrick Bourne and their third round pick, which is from Carolina. So a very high third round pick for the Bears as part of this deal. I know Bears fans want more, but if Roquan Smith leaves this offseason, even if the Bears don't spend money in free agency, which I think they will, given that they have $100 million in cap space, this is better than any comp pick they could get in return. By like 70 picks. So to me, that makes sense for the Bears' perspective. And then basically you're trading a fifth-round pick for Kendrick Bourne, where just get Justin Fields some players to work with on offense, please. Kendrick Bourne, useful for the Bears, originally for the Patriots last year, fell out of favor in that offense, but he can be a viable number two receiver. That would be great. The Bears could desperately use a number two receiver to play alongside Darnell Mooney. Bourne is relatively cheap over the next couple of years. I think it's such a low-cost, obvious move for them. So basically Smith for a three, Bourne for a five. And from the Patriots' perspective, I mean, they've had some issues at linebacker. They moved on from Dante Hightower. They cut Calvin Noy. They cut Jamie Collins, brought Jamie Collins back in. Smith is just such a smart player. He's athletic. He's exactly what Bill Belichick wants from his linebackers. It would be tough getting him in there in midseason, but this is a move where you're basically getting a trial on him for the end of the year into the offseason. You can re-sign him, you can franchise him, or you can let him leave and then probably get a three or a four comp pick back next year. So basically renting Smith for free, or a little, you know, the difference between a three and a four, I think that's worth it for the Patriots, where that defense could use a star linebacker in the middle of the field.
And I mean, look, Roquan Smith is, I don't think people understand how good Roquan Smith has been the last, what, 2.5 years, maybe?
I mean, he's been good.
I mean, he's been good his entire, I mean, like, he hadn't been like, you know.
He leveled up a couple of years ago for sure.
Yeah, I think maybe it was even, it could have even been 3 years ago. I love Roquan. So I loved him coming out of college. I love him now. I mean, yeah, he's been second team All Pro the last 2 years. Yeah, I think it was maybe, I mean, he's been very good his entire career, but he definitely took a leap forward in, I think, 2020.
Yep.
And because the Bears haven't been very good, and, you know, I mean, I don't think people realize just how skilled and talented a player he really is. Mm-hmm. You know, he does. I always put a wager in on Roquan to win Defensive Player of the Year, which is stupid because you have to be on a good team to win. But he and Shaquille Leonard are so unique in terms of their ability to produce, God, I'm forgetting his name, but I cannot believe I'm forgetting his name. The statistics across the board, Derwin James, good God,
yes.
What is wrong with me? But like, you see, like, they can rush the passer, they can drop into coverage. You know, they are like really adept tacklers. Like, all three of those guys produce statistics at a rate that is, if you put Roquan Smith on a good Patriots defense with Belichick pulling the, like, you know, operating the joystick. I mean, it feels like he could take a massive leap forward. So I am a very big fan of this trade.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, you know, it's, you'd rather do it in the off season, but if you can't do it, then you do it now, you try it out for the rest of the year, and then you're probably getting a significant comp pick in return. So yeah, I'm all for it. We will see what happens. My suspicion is that I have the over under on any of these deals happening as under a half with very significant juice.
-375 under a half. Any of these trades, any of these like exactly 100% correct trades happening.
Yes, but they all should, frankly. These are all trades that make sense to me. Yeah. So despite what the commenters might say, we will see what happens. But I feel like we hit on some logical moves here for both teams.
Aren't you glad that podcasts don't have like replies?
I just have to listen to people yelling at me in audio form for like
like what if, you know, like Jack Easterby had a podcast and he, you know, he's like, these replies were in audio form. I mean, it would be so many FCC fines.
Yeah, that's true. That would not be appropriate. Thankfully we don't have to deal with that. We love our listeners though. Our listeners are great. Just the other people who listen to the show who are bad. That's a different group of people altogether. But Will, you have plenty of people who listen to your various work. If people want to be nice and listen and say nice things, where can they do that to you?
The Pick Six Podcast, a daily for all of eternity NFL podcast, available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Play, wherever else you get your podcast. And maybe more importantly, on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We are, I just got an alert that I will be live in 30 minutes with, actually like 15 minutes with my good friend Brady Quinn, who I should note too, if any listeners out there are passionate about a particular charity, Brady Quinn 2 weeks ago said he would donate $1,000 to listeners, charities, a different charity each time for every win that the Jets got this year. And they are, of course, are 2-0 since then. Brady is $2,000 down, but hey, two charities have now benefited from it. So if anybody out there is passionate, anybody listening to the Bill Barnwell Show is passionate about a particular charity, go to the tweet me at Will Brinson or at Pick Six Pod, or go to our Apple Podcast reviews, leave a 5-star review and with your charity. And we pick one each time the Jets win. And I hope that the Jets run the table and win the Super Bowl.
Or if you're just passionate about not Brady Quinn not having money.
If you're passionate about seeing Brady Quinn spend thousands of dollars, come on down.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, those are totally valid reasons to want Brady Quinn to give up money. So
that's my primary passion in this particular seeing Brady lose money. It's like they beat the Packers in Green Bay. What is happening?
Blew the Packers out in Green Bay. Smoked
the Packers.
Left them for dead on Lambeau Field. Incredible. So much is happening this year, Will. It has been a wild season. Hopefully, our trades are just going to make the NFL season even wilder. But until next time, Will, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening today. Will Brinson, of course, the best. Check out Pick Six Podcast. Everything Will Brinson does is great. We have more audio coming next week. Hope you guys are enjoying the NFL season. Hope you guys enjoyed some dumb fake trades. One of my favorite things to talk about. More football, hopefully more real football, on the way next week. Thanks so much for listening.